And we're on.
Okay.
So this is Mary Barbara, Hannah, and
Lauren Totten.
And we are rebranding Lauren. This is episode 3. A little behind in our weeks. I know, yeah, you're holding up the 4 sign, but it's only episode 3. It's a little confusing between Leftovers, Walking Dead, rebranding Lauren. What episode?
Yeah.
But no, it's in fact, it's only episode 3.
Really?
Yeah, we have missed a couple. Well, we're blending a couple of weeks in because you were working with Kate 1 week and then last week got by us. And
I see.
So now we can't really go by saying it's week this, week that. Now we just have to go by episode because we're all skipping right. Time. Today we are drinking Santa Julia from Mendoza, Argentina, Cabernet Sauvignon. So here's to you.
Cheers.
Cheers. A little sip. Mm-hmm. Mm.
Delightful.
All right, so for all of those of you who are listening for the first time, Lauren is here visiting Hong Kong for, well, we say 3 months, but really it was only maybe 10 weeks.
It's 10 weeks, yeah.
And now it's rapidly winding down. We're already at like 7 weeks or something.
Well, tomorrow is a month.
Okay.
I will have been here.
That's amazing.
Because I am.
So we're following Lauren and her search for work and meaning in life while she lives in Hong Kong for a few months. And we decided to put together a podcast to do that. And so I, the mom, am interviewing my daughter about these things. So we've had some standard questions that I've asked in the other episodes. I encourage you to, you know, be as bawdy and open as you normally are when we have our offline conversations. And so here I'm going to start off with the first question. So you've had some goals when you got here. How are you doing achieving goals that you set for yourself?
Did we write down what I said the goals were?
Well, in the first episode, they were very broad.
Okay.
Because you said, I want to change. I hope everything changes.
Yeah.
And then in the second episode, you said, I can't believe I was so broad because, you know, like that's... How can I have everything change? So in the second episode, I think you were just hoping to find work, mm-hmm. you know, get some meaningful work and get involved in projects.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm kind of concerned that you don't necessarily know what your goals might be.
No, it's not
or what you said.
It's what I said. I don't remember what I said specifically. So I'm having, I don't know if I'll be able to answer specifically based off of what I've said in the past. But I think that my goal achieving is going well if it was to find work because I've been working pretty much every day, basically just based off of one job that I had my third week here. I did 2 full days of shooting out in Saigon and it was over 1,000 images and it's just been... never ending editing, which is totally fine. It's part of the job. So that's going well.
You have to edit all 1,000 images?
No. No. I just have to find the ones that we want, that she wants to use, and edit those. But a lot of the photos need several different cropping sizes.
Oh, I see.
And then a lot of the stuff that she didn't have every single thing printed that she wanted to showcase. So then it's implementing files like onto the it's like superimposing some things into the photos also so then figuring out like which ones specifically which pieces of art she wants in which photos etc. So it's just which and like I said it's good, you know. Yeah. Lots of work to be done, so keeping me busy, keeping me active at least a little bit, so I have feels like I'm doing something.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead. Something else?
No.
So in the beginning, I asked you what's the scariest thing so far. Do you remember what you said?
The flight.
Yeah, the flight. And then the next time it was getting all the equipment that you need.
Mm.
So anything different now? Is there something that's scary now as opposed to those other 2 times?
Scary. I don't know. I don't feel scared.
Hmm.
No. Sydney scares me sometimes when she barks at me at night.
She's a good watchdog.
Yeah. But no, I don't feel like I've been really, well, maybe when you fall down, it makes me nervous.
But you're not there when that happens.
But I hear about it.
Or you see the physical evidence.
I see the physical evidence. My mother likes to go hiking, and I like to go too, but she goes so early.
I know.
And then she comes home, and she's all banged up, this woman.
Yeah.
You gotta get a broken bone. You need to be careful.
I don't know. I think I'll be okay. It's yeah. It just scrapes and bruises, really.
You stepped off the side of a cliff.
A very small cliff, maybe 2 inches high. Well, it was a sidewalk. It was a sidewalk.
Watch where you're going.
I know. I was distracted. Okay. And then how about the exciting part? What's been the exciting part so far? Now that it's been a month, what have you found exciting about being here? If anything.
I really like the pool that I've discovered, the Sienna pool. It's not that it's exciting, but I really enjoyed that relaxing part of it.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's gorgeous.
It is a beautiful pool. Yeah. I mean, it really is. So here in Discovery Bay, we belong just by the fact that we live here. You get to belong to these two clubs, and they have pools, one pool being much newer and big and, you know, just luxurious looking, and it looks right out over the water.
It's gorgeous. I love it.
It is gorgeous. And you see the mountains. Yeah. And it's good weather. I mean, it's almost November, and we're still in the upper 70s, lower 80s here, so the weather is still good.
It's really high humidity, so it's nice to be in the pool. Exciting. I mean, I'm excited. I'm hoping. I'm excited to start shooting more for travel. I'm hoping that picks up a little bit. I emailed somebody today about it, so hopefully that'll kind of get the ball rolling. And I will next week, like the first weeks, like in November, I'm gonna start going in the office. So I'm excited for that to start.
Yeah.
And so that'll be fun.
Going back into an office.
Yeah. Well, you know, not that element of it, but just, you know, getting back in kind of the swing of things, and it'll kind of open some doors to meet people and in the office, and I think it'll be fun.
Okay. Tell us about your wave dream. Not a big long explanation, but just, you know, kind of give us the...
I'm going to try to remember it. That was a few days ago. Let's see. So I had this crazy dream. A lot of times I feel my dreams are very similar. I have very, not repetitive, but there's usually a general mise-en-scene of my dreams, basically. I mean, it's a kind of the same things happening a lot, and it usually involves plane crashes. This did not at all, and it was totally new. It was like a totally new setting. It was something I didn't really recognize, and I don't even know where I was specifically, but the details are fuzzy, but something was going on, and I was in a hotel or a school or something that was by the water, and there was a door out to these, like, cliffs, but that were, like, on the water, in the water, like, these, like, it was, like, pointy, like, a ridge of something that was, like, jutted out into water, so there's water on both sides, and it was really beautiful, so I just went out there to kind of, you know, experience it or whatever, and then I realized there were these huge, huge waves coming in, like, you know, dream-sized waves, like, they're not real-sized waves, and massive, massive things, and I wasn't necessarily nervous about it. I was just like, oh, you're gonna get wet now, so you should probably hold on so you don't get, like, swept away, but I wasn't really concerned about being swept away. I was just, like, maybe, not even annoyed, but I was just, like, resigned to the fact that I was now going to be getting wet by these waves, and I just was kind of like dealing with it and like holding onto these rocks and like letting this thing kind of wash over me and then going back. But I didn't actually end up getting wet. It was like I just kind of like held on and then it, you know, like it
receded.
No, it's like when it crests and over and it like magically didn't get me wet somehow, but then it. Yeah, but that was my way.
And you're headed towards a door, you said. There was some door you were going to or going out the door.
I had come out of the door right onto it, and then I realized waves were coming in, and so then I had to turn around and go back into the door. So I was making my way back, I guess, yeah.
So as an amateur dream interpreter, I love to tell Lauren what I think her dreams mean. I do this for my husband as well. I like to interpret dreams. And also I find sometimes if I talk about my dreams out loud to people, I realize what they're about.
Definitely.
So my dream for you, my dream interpretation for you, Lauren, and I told you this the day that you told me the dream, is that the waves crashing and hanging on but not getting swept away is your big move to Hong Kong. You're surrounded by water here. Where you're sitting in our living room looks over the water, and so you're technically a school, you know, being here, you're a new school of life, right, this new chapter, and big exciting changes are sweeping over you, but you're not getting swept away. You're proving to yourself that you can handle them. You're hanging on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're very strong. And maybe the door is back to New York, because we know that that door has not shut, that you will be going back.
I will be going back. So,
despite my best efforts. Every week, dear listeners, I try to convince her that she should stay and move back with us. It's been lovely for me, because my husband still travels, as you know, and so having Lauren here is always just like a ray of sunshine, sort of, a sleepy sunshine. So,
well, I definitely don't follow the same patterns as the sun.
Yeah, just the opposite, just a little vampire. Mm-hmm. My little vampire's here to visit. So what else is going on then? So what, in the past couple of weeks then, you've had a chance to go out and do some socializing.
Yes.
How was your socializing?
It's good. It's fun. It was kind of interesting. I was talking to Mike, my boyfriend, about how it was kind of weird to be on the, like, basically hanging out with people that are dealing with what he's dealing with, like their significant other is traveling and not being around all the time. And to hear that their perspective of it, but coming from girls, so I'm more, I don't know, it's weird. Like, it's easier for me to, like, kind of feel for him, I guess, in a way, you know, like, I understand, like, hearing them, like, hearing people talk about what it's like for their husbands to be gone, like, for Teen and, Louise. Oh, it's her boyfriend, not her husband, you know, and to hear, like, what they are kind of going through with it, then I can, it helps me be a little bit more sympathetic for the man in New York that I've left, but, momentarily.
So what do you think it is? What are, I mean, without giving away Teen and Louise's, you know, emotions themselves, but just from what are you hearing? What is difficult about it? What are some of the difficulties?
Well, I think just when you're used to living with somebody or spending a significant amount of time with a person, you just kind of get used to the presence of somebody always being there. And, you know, and I'm feeling it too on my own, but I'm in a completely new situation, so I have more distractions to, like, keep me from thinking about it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like, always having that presence there, or, you know, if you want to say something to somebody, you can just speak out loud. I don't have to, like, get out my phone, think about time difference, probably not awake, or maybe he's busy, and then, like, text, and or try to call. You know, I'm just like, oh, hey, I need wine, or whatever it is. You know, yeah, like, right. What do you want for dinner? Like, should I do this, or look at this hilarious thing I just saw. You know, it's more instantaneous. It's that instant gratification that you really kind of have to get used to not getting. And so, you know, just keeping that in mind that I'm not the only one going through it. And just remembering that he's also dealing with the change.
I think it's easier, you know, from my perspective, I think it's easier to be the one traveling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as the one that gets left behind, you know, most of the time.
Right.
I know that Mark is busy when he travels. Obviously, he's working. And I do know that it's really not that glamorous, right? He's either in the hotel, he's in a taxi, he's in an airport.
Right.
He's in a meeting. I mean, he's not out having the time of his life every day. And he puts in some long hours. So I know it's not glamorous, although it's hard to be unhappy in a 5-star hotel or flying in business class. But you're right, you know, the person who is traveling is sort of having the adventure, and the person who's behind is still going about their day-to-day business.
Exactly.
The thing for me that I find sort of interesting is still, even after almost 6 years of living this expat lifestyle, is the I don't even know how you describe it, the change that I have to go through when Mark comes back. So Mark is often really gone for 7 to 10 days at a time, even up to 14 days. And so I get in my own little pattern. It's usually just me here with my dog and the cats. And so I get in my own little habits and things go a certain way. And then when there's the re-entry, when Mark re-enters the world, you know, there's definitely this period of time where we have to readjust to being in the house again together.
Right.
Because things change just slightly, not significantly, but just slightly. And I think other expat wives or spouses, I should say, probably go through that too. So it'll be interesting to see when you go back and you see Mike, even though you've been connected the whole time, the re-entry part of being back in the same physical space again together.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting, especially because when I move back, my subleaser will still be there, so I will be living at his apartment. And all of my stuff is there. He asked me about an apartment he found the other day, actually, in Jersey. He said, he was like, so I found this really great place. It's above a bar. Do you think you'd be okay living above a bar? And I was like, obviously, I'd be fine with that. But
hallelujah.
Yeah, right. Hallelujah. I was like, that's great. I'll just work there, stumble up and down the stairs. It'd be great. Not really. But yeah, so we'll see how that all plays out. We'll see what happens.
Okay. But yeah. How are we doing living together?
I think it's going well.
Yeah. Yeah, our last episode we shared a little bit about having our a tussle over the, and it wasn't really, you're rolling your eyes, it really wasn't a tussle.
It sounds like we're pulling our hair out, like breaking your glasses, like, take that, woman. You didn't try seeing now.
Well, you know, the part where you pushed me off the couch and you said it was because it looked like I fell when I was hiking, but it was really because you pushed
me. Okay, now you're in trouble.
Oh, I'm totally kidding. She could not take me down.
Oh, that's, exactly. Yeah. Did you see that photo of me when I was with my personal trainer and I was leg pressing 8 plates total? Do you even know what that means?
No, not really.
Yeah, like almost 500 pounds of my legs. So
wow.
Watch it, lady.
All right. Yeah. So how come you're not up hiking? What's happening with
the hiking? Because you go at 3 o'clock in the morning when I've just gone to bed.
Untrue.
Okay, fine. 6 when I've just gone to bed. Okay. I can't wake up that early. It's ridiculous. All right,
well, how are we going to solve this? We really have to do something about it because our time is winding down. And
we have to get to the top of Lantau.
That's right. Yeah. Right. So how are we... What can we do to get ourselves...
Stop going so early.
Okay. It's really hot if you go any other time.
So? Oh. Okay. You sweat more.
All right. So... When would be a better time to go?
I don't know, noon?
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding.
No? Even that's kind of early.
Yeah, what if we went at like 4?
All right, so 4 o'clock might be a better time.
Like, yeah, in the afternoon when I'm more awake.
Okay.
Or I could just try to get up in the morning.
Well, you tell me, because so far I've done several hikes and you have been on one.
I've been on 3.
Really?
Well, the one you, me and Steph went on.
Uh-huh.
And then... The other one. Oh, is that 2? I thought we did... Oh, yeah, I guess it's only been 2.
What was the other one?
No, it really has only been 2. I walked up to the lookout point with you.
Oh, all right. The steps. We did the steps.
Yeah.
All right.
Give me that look.
Yeah, just checking. So we really have to get on that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, we'll see how that changes. So let me ask you, you don't know that I'm going to ask you this question, so...
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, take a drink. Glug, 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 glug. Mm-hmm. You don't leave the apartment very often. I thought you'd be out of here more often, not because I want you to be, but because I thought you'd have more things to do outside of the apartment. And I worry that you're not leaving the apartment.
I'm working.
Yeah. Okay. But, you know, even working needs to be balanced with getting out of the apartment.
I went out on Saturday. I went to the pool and stuff. Okay. Did no work on Saturday. Right. It's just a lot. There's just a lot of work to do.
Hmm.
And so it's more just like, I could like leave and go work at Pacific Coffee. You know what I mean? But it's still the exact same. But I just want to put a bra on. So I stay in the apartment and just do it because then I don't have to pay for coffee.
Yeah.
I don't have to pay for the bus.
You don't have to put a bra on.
I don't have to put a bra on or real pants. I mean, these are important things. Okay. Like, who wants to wear a bra when it's 9,500 degrees outside?
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm just... And I went to, like, the thing with you that AWA... I went in and shot... That's and then I shot the AWA interview podcast for you. Oh,
that's right.
And I went in then.
You got stuff going tomorrow.
We got stuff. What's tomorrow?
Tomorrow we are, if you're still interested, going out to the school, this Mandarin school. They want shots for their website in exchange for maybe some lessons, language lessons.
Oh, I totally forgot about this.
Yeah.
Well, but we're just going to look at it.
Yeah, we're just going to go there, talk to them, see what the school is.
Oh, okay.
You're not going to actually do any shooting at that moment. We're just going to go visit their place in Causeway Bay.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Perfect. Then, can we go to IKEA tomorrow?
Sure.
Sweet.
And we will go to IKEA.
Eat some
There's only one IKEA in Hong Kong. Oh, no, there's 2. But, I mean, there's one in
Causeway
Bay and then one in Sha Tin. And let me tell you, folks, in the U.S., IKEA is rare. I mean, it's not everywhere.
Right.
So when I lived in Ohio, it was a big deal to go to IKEA in Pennsylvania. It was like an all-day trip. And now living in Hong Kong, IKEA is like the only really affordable place besides going into the markets to buy household items. So much so that eventually you swear off IKEA forever. And this is nothing to do with IKEA. It's a great store, lovely people, I'm sure. Nothing wrong with their products. They have, in fact, in Hong Kong, they have great delivery. Mm. And they'll put your stuff together for you. So all, you know,
they do
all
that fine.
But we couldn't do that in Ohio because we live so far away. Right. So in here in Hong Kong, it's a nice thing.
And there's three in New York City.
Oh, see? Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
There's zero in Cleveland.
It's just so nice. I think they're building one. Yeah,
they are opening one. Anyway,
but I will never go to because now I've been to IKEA so many times, I really dread going there.
Oh, really? I'm sorry.
No, we'll go tomorrow because we'll be in Causeway Bay, but it's...
If we're going to go to that hellhole, we should at least have fun in IKEA. I think IKEA's fun.
Okay, good. Well, and Swedish meatballs. Woo-hoo. And tomorrow you have headshots with Diane.
That's on Thursday.
Oh, that's on Thursday. Okay, so you got some other work coming up.
Yes, I have got work on Thursday, which is good, and we're going to do that tomorrow. Sorry. Anyways, what was the question?
No, how we were doing living together.
Oh,
but
right.
It's better when we wander off onto other topics and explore. Okay.
Yeah, I think living together has been going fine, though. I haven't had any issues.
Mark came home with a flu.
Oh, yeah. And then cooked dinner.
And the reality of living in a very small apartment with a very sick person comes to the fore because this poor guy has, you know, just... I don't really... How many square feet do you think this is over here? Like 20?
No, like 75. 70?
70 square feet is our living room. So pretty tiny, and we're all in this one little area, and the poor guy is, you know, coughing and sneezing and sniffling, and then he shuffles into bed, which is, you know... just 5 feet away over here behind our door. And so the three of us have been... neither one of us are sick, though. It's been 48 hours, and we're both pretty healthy, so I don't think we're going
to
get...
I hope not. I've been trying to be really good about, like, washing my hands. Although I was feeling nervous about eating that soup that he made. But then I was like, oh, the water boiled, so maybe it's okay.
Well, and if you haven't... I mean, the guy's been blowing his nose and coughing, so I would think...
But yeah, but I haven't been sitting in that area.
You walk through it. You walk through his airspace.
Do I? Okay, well...
Anyway.
Hopefully I don't get sick.
Yeah, no, I don't think you... What was that? A little sniffle. Yeah.
I don't know, I'm a little cloggy.
Yeah. It's also the air where it's, unfortunately, Hong Kong is
very... Yeah. Yeah, oh, you were worried about me leaving the house.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I'm not worried about it.
Okay.
Because... I do leave the house. It's expensive also.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have not having an income, I'm just really trying to be smart about my money, so.
Well, I just also, to me though, you could just go outside. Just, you know, you can walk down to the plaza. You can walk back from the plaza. You can go sit in the park. It's the mom
snake park?
The snake park, yes, because the snakes are out. They're feeding.
I don't want to hang out with cobras.
There's no, they don't hang out with you. They avoid you. They hear you coming and they go the other way.
Well, I guess the point is that I just, it's difficult for me to sit outside and work on my computer.
Okay.
Just the glare.
It's really just the mom and me. You know, I feel like I need to organize your time and intervene.
I'm working.
I know, but it doesn't matter. You know, I feel like I need to structure you. It's inevitable, I realize, as a mother, you know, I've tried to
do my laundry, that's motherly.
Throw it in the laundry basket, that's daughterly.
I put cat puke in there.
You put cat puke in the laundry?
Well, they puked on the rug. So I put the rug in the thing. Oh, I mean, okay. I picked up the chunks, but it's got cat puke on it.
All right. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah. I need hangers. So I want to clean my room, but I want hangers
so
I can hang the stuff up because it's just sitting there.
So tomorrow for IKEA,
we'll get hangers.
Hangers. That'll be exciting.
Yeah.
Hangers. Hangers that you can take back, but you probably won't need them back there. You just need them here.
No. I mean, I'd say I'll still take them.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll put them in Mike's house.
All right. So here we are 4 weeks in. How will things be different in 10 weeks now less than 10 weeks? So
7 weeks.
7 weeks. How are things going to be different, do you think?
When I leave. I don't know how things will be different. I mean, I think I'm still on that broad one. I hope, you know, a lot of things are different. I mean, I guess I'm really just kind of being here and working here and stuff. It's really just, it's kind of like a competence builder and a resume builder, whatever. So it's easier just to kind of like give myself a little like boost to really go out there and fight for work, other work besides editing. So
today I was looking at your business card, which is very beautiful, by the way, except for the misspelled word that you're getting fixed. So on the one side, it's got your Lauren C. Totten across the bottom, and then he has a tree.
Yep.
Like a really full tree. Why a tree? What's that all about?
I just hired this person to do it, and that's what she came up with.
So your business card is a tree.
And yeah.
When you hand out this card to people, Lauren C. Photography.
Yeah.
And it says, on the front, it says, like, photographer, editor.
Art director.
Art director.
Yeah.
And then a tree. So what... If somebody says to you, oh, what's up with a tree?
Oh, I'm always saying? Growing. I don't know. I can come up with some BS answer for that. Yeah, I don't know. No, because I just said I needed a logo, and I gave her a bunch of stuff that I liked, and then she sent me back a bunch of stuff, and that was the one I liked the best, so that's the one I went with.
So when you sent a bunch of stuff that you liked, what does that mean?
I just, like, Google image, this image searched awesome. Like, I think the words I used were, like, it, like... I don't even know what words I use, but business card.
Nest.
Photographer. No, like photographer.
Squirrels.
Yeah.
Acorn.
Yeah. Things that burn. I don't know. I just like looked at business cards that I liked and sent them to her. So I was like, you know, something like just like very simple, like clean, chic-y, but I kind of am bohemian, so... You know, just something. I didn't really give her a whole lot of direction, and I just, then whatever she sent back, I just picked the one I liked the best, and it was the tree.
What did you like? What did you like about it? Do you know?
It was, like, understated, simple, black and white, I just wanted something, like, kind of pretty, and I like trees, you know?
Yeah.
They're sturdy. I don't know. There really wasn't a whole lot of thought put into that, which is, I'm sure, like, a million people would be like, that's terrible. You should think about it. Blah, blah, blah. Like, whatever.
I wish you could see Lauren. Right now she's doing the thing that we do when she's pretending to march. Like, she's like, I'm really upset with you. And, like, little marching arms.
Yeah. And, people are looking all bossy pants. They put their boss pants on, and they're like.
Exactly. Blah, blah, blah. Right.
Just.
You should do what I say.
Yeah, drumline. Yeah, they're just really intense, and I'm just like, they really need you to do
that's
this.
That's really awful.
Yeah, and I just liked it, so I went with it.
It's good. Yeah. That's all. It was just cute. Well, because we hadn't talked about it, and today was the first day I saw it, so I thought, oh, it'll be great for the podcast.
Yeah, I think, you know, if somebody was like, oh, this is so wonderful, why did you pick the tree?
So when people are not bossy pants, when they're more...
they're like frilly.
Frilly pants?
Yeah.
What do their hands do then?
Nothing, because they don't know how to express themselves.
Oh, I see. Okay. Like little tiny hands.
The little T-Rex hands.
Like Kristen Wiig's little doll hands.
Right.
On Saturday Night Live.
It's
so pretty.
Maybe it's like the twirling of the hair.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. It's so nice. It's great. It means it's so deep.
Well, the roots are deep on the tree. That's right.
Sure. Well, some trees' roots are not deep. They just spread out very far to get a lot of stuff instead of going down.
Huh, much like your international work.
Much like my shallowness, yes. Oh, okay. No, I'm just kidding. Reaching far and wide.
For anything.
Yeah. I mean, I could probably make up a whole story about that tree.
All right, very good.
But now it's on the podcast and people don't know it's fake.
Well, we'll see if they've listened to the podcast because they will call you out on it.
Yeah.
On your card.
And then I'll be like, well, at least you know me.
That's right. Well, and you can post, you'll have this... will this logo then show up on your website, laurencetotten.com?
Mm-hmm. I was playing around with that, but, like, the space for the logo is super... Like, when I put it in there, it shows up as teeny tiny little thing.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, a square. So then I was thinking about having it be, like, the background of the website, but then I couldn't really figure out how the hell stuff...
Yeah.
Got the photo on the background. Anyways, it's Weebly, so maybe you know, but
no,
I couldn't really figure that out, so I'll deal with that when I get back.
I mean, it's no wonder.
Or I'll send it to her.
People, this whole, you know, one of the things, so today I've been trying to update my own website.
Right.
Lookleftpd.com, and it takes hours sometimes just to figure out one stupid thing. It's really frustrating.
Well, right? For us, it does.
Yeah,
but right. not for
That's
people,
what I mean.
not,
That's
for,
right.
not for people the professionals. Right, exactly.
it's fantastic for them because they're like click, 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 and then they're done.
Yeah.
And also, as I told you, my mouse stopped working, so I'm trying everything I have to do is with my, I thankfully have a touch screen.
You have a rogue curl sticking straight up out of your head. Okay, wait, it's gone now.
I actually call that my alfalfa curl because I literally have a curl. Lauren and I, if you know us, know we both have very curly hair. And I have this one particular curl at the crown, and it just literally goes straight up off the top of my head.
Seriously.
And I call it the alfalfa curl.
It looks like it's like 12 inches longer than the rest of your hair. How does it get up so high?
Maybe static. I don't know.
Like use your hand and now feel how high up it is. Really? Yeah,
I think it's just straight up there like that?
This should be a video podcast. This should be a vlog just to see us playing with our hair. It's but then I'd have to put a bra on.
Well, no jumping. Or no shimmying right up to the camera, perhaps.
Well, how could one not shimmy to the camera when a camera is present? What else do you do to a camera?
No, that's a good question. We can explore that in the next podcast.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah, so this hair that sticks up, I call it my alfalfa curl because it really
does. Oh, you put it away now. Oh,
please, put that curl away.
It's done. You've hidden it well. It's gone.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, hence the haircut tomorrow because when the alfalfa curl comes out, you know.
It's time.
It comes out at a full moon.
Hey, actually, it's a super moon or something tonight. It's at the 26th. Yeah, today for us is the 26th. Yeah. Oh, because it was a U.S. article. So I was trying, what day is it, though? I don't know. We're in the future. Did I miss it? It's the 26th for us.
So where does the super moon?
It's, really big.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully, with the challenge, we're having some cloud cover, and so...
no need to be pessimistic about it. It might clear up.
But I like that.
Also, there's an asteroid coming that's going to pass closest to... It's going to be closer to the Earth than anything since, 2006 on Halloween.
Fun.
Yeah, it's the size of the Empire State Building.
Okay.
Yeah.
The size, but not the shape.
No, not the shape.
Not That'd the be, long, pointy.
It might be long and pointy.
Yeah.
Actually, is that... I don't know. No, it's probably just round.
Yeah, right.
Just but you won't be able to see it with the naked eye. You need a telescope.
You have to close your eye.
Yes.
No naked
Your eyes. Eye must be closed with lenses.
No shimmying up to the camera with a naked eye.
Yeah, right. We gotta put some glasses on those things.
Exactly. Just like this demure, hiding all the flaws or something.
Is that how you think of yourself? Demure?
No, not really.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
I would like to be demure.
Yeah, I always say that. I want to be chic, like Jackie O, classy and whatever. And then I see photos of myself, my tongue's hanging out, my bra strap showing, I have a wedgie, I'm just a total mess.
I always tell people I am a cross between Lucille Ball and Katherine Hepburn.
Oh, okay, yes. Definitely more towards Lucille.
Yeah. I mean, I can be classy, but on any given moment on the other side of my classiness is...
Something totally ridiculous.
Falling down.
Yeah.
Stepping
off cliffs.
Alfalfa curl.
Right. Yeah, exactly. If you scratch just beneath the surface, you'll see what a hot mess
everything is. Exactly. If you actually watch me in motion, I bump into things and trip and
fall. I'm covered in bruises all the time.
Yeah, right.
And I wear shirts that say fuck off. That's not...
You don't think Jackie ever said that?
She probably didn't, wear the shirt
that's true.
So. She just wore mumbling it under her breath.
She probably wore the eye, the facial expression.
Yeah. I should really work on that.
Fuck off, Marilyn.
Well.
Or whoever.
Yeah. Or all of them.
Oh, yeah. We just made the same face at each other. Really weird.
It's like a mirror in front of me.
Anyway. Yeah, it's hard. I can't keep explaining every little thing that happens. What else would you like to talk about then? We've covered...
Is that everything?
Well, yeah, kind of. I mean, as far as... your adventure in Hong Kong and meeting people and the challenges of being us poor because Hong Kong is very expensive and all the hours. So here's something I want to bring up to you and not in any way dissing, your vocation of being a photographer. I just can't believe how much money you made or subsequently have not made for all the editing you do. I mean, you took these pictures, I know it's 1,000 images, but you have been editing every day for like 8 days now.
Mm-hmm.
All day. Every time I look at you, you are on that computer with your tablet editing.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm thinking, like, if you broke that out, I know you say it's by the day or the half day,
mm-hmm.
but after 2 full days in my head, I'm like, that I couldn't, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm not being critical. I'm not, but I just am really overwhelmed by how long it takes to finish a project. But then, you know, we were watching the Hobbit movie.
Yeah.
And I was looking at the end credits, and there were sketches of all the main characters, and they were phenomenal sketches. Mm-hmm. And it made me think how long it took that person to really do all that artwork. You know,
right.
Months and months, obviously, of work. And I don't know. I'm just making a comment, I guess, on how long it takes to edit versus how much money is possible to make when you're so busy on both ends, when you got to do the stuff on the camera, then to get it, you know, edited and delivered. And
yeah, it's a lot of work. And I mean, basically the way that situation went was just kind of like a discussion of what someone was able and willing to pay and what I was able and willing to do. And that was fine with me, mm-hmm. and it was okay. But if someone were to say, hey, if I was just editing and someone had a photo, I would charge per photo.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I see.
And do it out that way. But because I was shooting it and I knew that there was very specific editing requests afterwards, it was just kind of all grouped into the same price.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been my experience, I think also because of working in New York, people don't get paid very well for this work because there are so many people who can do it.
Yeah.
It really drives the price down.
Yeah.
And talking with people here and telling them my price, it's very obvious that that's not the case here. There's not that many people doing it.
Mm-hmm.
The price is actually, I can charge a lot more.
Well, that's good news.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I can absolutely charge more for the work. It's, but just, it, you know, it's basically by project. Like, I'm just going to, you know.
Well, I mean, what I mean by good news, though, is it's great to come here and find out that information that you can make more. There's not as many people. The market is more open to you.
Yeah.
Than it is in New York.
Yeah, definitely.
So
yeah.
In case you do decide to come back in January.
Right.
Mom, that joke is old.
No, it's fine. I feel like I just want you guys to move somewhere new.
Oh, I see.
You know? Like,
yeah.
I love being here and doing it, but I've been here so much now, I feel like...
Yeah.
Go somewhere else.
Oh, okay.
So I can go there.
Yeah.
Like, why don't you try Paris or something? Or, like, Bogota.
There you go. Paris or Bogota.
Like, why not?
Well, they definitely have Domino's there. Just, I don't see us doing that. Of course. Except I'm kind of waiting for the tide to turn. I'm waiting for you to move somewhere so I can come visit you and live and,
That kind of stuff. I don't know that I would have a permanent address outside of... I mean, who knows what the hell's going to happen. But I feel like my permanent address is going to be New York.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. How about New Jersey?
No.
Okay. At the beginning, I remember when you started dating Mike, that he, you know, not in the beginning, but at some point, the two of you talked about living together in New York, in New Jersey,
mm-hmm.
and I said to you, wow, do you think you were really going to do that? You were going to move in with Mike? And you said, oh, mother, I would never live in New Jersey.
Yeah. No, I really don't think I would.
It had nothing to do with the guy. It could have been...
Oh, yeah, no, it doesn't even matter.
Right.
I just don't want to live in
New Jersey.
Yeah.
Right, so...
But anybody from the United States who isn't from New Jersey would never want to move to fucking New Jersey. I mean, like, it's just, like, a terrible... It just has... Ugh.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's actually... But it's not when you're actually there, you know, and you're out and doing...
Yeah.
It's actually fine. I mean, there's
right.
not... You know, like, there are areas that are very nice, but there's just a very, like...
Lauren's whispering that it's a lot like another state in the United States that
people don't want to go move to.
Don't want to move to because they associate it with, you know, a certain person.
Yeah.
Personalities
type. And like lifestyles.
Yeah.
But I
actually make my home there. My husband and I have a home in this particular state.
Yes.
So we are doing the best we can to change people's perceptions of those that live in that state.
Right. So I think the way that, what Mike and I had originally agreed upon was we'll move in together when we can afford to live in Manhattan.
Oh.
But then there's, you know, the rational part of me that's like, that's just ridiculous. Like, why spend all that money to live in a smaller apartment in Manhattan? Like, it's dumb. I don't want to do that. And he kind of agrees, I think, you know, and it's more just like along the lines of like, if you have so much money that you don't care, I don't know that necessarily I think I'll ever be at that point in my life. So I don't really want to leave Brooklyn. I really like Brooklyn, and he doesn't really want to leave Jersey City because he really likes Jersey City. So who knows what will happen.
Yeah, you might. Somebody, God forbid, might actually have to make a compromise.
Yeah, somebody, right. We're both very stubborn.
Yes, you are.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I remember the time that you and I went to IKEA and bought some bedroom furniture. Was that IKEA?
Yes.
And we bought some bedroom furniture or whatever, and we brought it back, and Mike insisted on putting it together, but you didn't want him to put it together.
No, I didn't. Because I knew, I just felt like for sure it'd be a fight.
Yeah.
Because I'm a control freak, and he, like, doesn't want to read directions, and we just spent all this money on, you just spent all your money on it, and I didn't want to get all effed up, so.
And there's always a piece left over. That's what you said. There's always a piece left over. He doesn't need the direction.
Right.
So we convinced him to start making breakfast while you and I assembled the dresser.
Yes.
And then I think we also got you a nightstand.
Yes, and he put the nightstand
and
together.
And so we compromised, and we let him put the nightstand together. And what happened?
And it was fine.
No, it was backwards. Remember, he put the drawer in upside down, or he put the drawer... Something went in backwards. He had something on backwards.
Oh,
and there was
remember.
A piece left over.
Oh, see, I didn't even remember this.
And
but okay.
But it's because I'm the one that likes to pee on the parade, right?
Oh, okay. What?
No, I'm kidding.
Mother!
Eee! But anyway, but I remember with the two of you there, listening to you kind of get into this bickering thing, and me saying, you know, the two of you are going to have to learn to work together if you're going to, you know, make this thing go forward.
Right.
And it sounds like you guys are doing better at that.
I think so.
Yeah.
I remember specific moments in our relationship where in my mind, I was like, okay, you have to make a decision. Like, either let the man be.
Yeah, right.
Or, like, go fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And so I just have always picked kind of just, like, let the guy be. And turns out the world didn't end, so everything's okay. Like, it really just kind of turned into this thing. Like, either you can fret and worry and, like, try to, like, control every, like, little situation or whatever. Or you could just trust the fact that he's a grown man and just let him do his thing and go along for the ride.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I picked. So, and yeah, it's been fine.
Yeah.
It's been good.
It is. I think that's that can be challenging in any situation, especially if you see things aren't getting done the way you like them done or think they should be done. I remember once somebody in our family who was not married into our family at the time, and then she came along, I have mostly brothers, so.
Yeah.
It could be any one of those she's. We were cooking dinner, and when I was a kid growing up, we only just put the frozen vegetables in a pot and water in the pot and just turned it on, and she put a cover on the pot, and I was just like, what do you think you're doing? And she's like, it boils faster if you put a lid on it. And I'm like,
that's true.
We don't put a lid on. Like, just that little act.
You need to put a lid on it, lady.
Exactly. But at the time, I was so affronted by this person coming into our home and putting a lid on the vegetables that we were boiling.
So,
it really can be a process of change and accepting people when they do things differently than you do.
Yeah.
And knowing that in this case, there's no one right way, but her way was better.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, and he's also made compromises. We no longer boil our vegetables.
Oh, very good.
Which is really lovely for me because
now that I've just talked about boiling vegetables.
Well, like a frozen bag of vegetables, like, you know, we just don't do that either. So it's like fresh vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember the first time he was making me dinner and he made broccoli and he boiled the broccoli.
Yeah.
And I just remember in my head being like, oh, that is just never going to happen again. Like, if I
just,
ate it
that
one
do that
time.
Again.
Yeah, right. Yes. I remember, I mean, it happened that one time and I ate them and it was fine. And then the next time we were there, I went over to his house and we were making dinner and I think it was broccoli again. I was like, can I make the broccoli?
Oh.
And he was like, sure. Like, you want to put water in a pot? Go for it, lady. You know? And I was like, I just kind of like have a different way of making it. Maybe you want to try it. I don't know. What do you think?
Maybe just, if I'm cute, you'll just let me have my own way.
Right. Yeah. Maybe if I just shimmy towards the camera, it'll be fine. So then I saw, like, I just, I'll just take it and put like a little olive oil, salt and pepper, some red pepper flakes, throw it in a saute pan, saute it up, because then it gets like nice and crunchy and you get all the flavor still, and it's not this like mush in your mouth that like has no flavor. So
I'm really looking forward. We have Brussels sprouts in the refrigerator awaiting your hand.
Right. I know. I should make the pesto sauce so it has time to fester.
I guess you'll have to go to the store. I guess you'll have to leave the apartment today. Or not.
Maybe. I'll have to measure.
Why can't you use fresh basil leaves?
It was just the recipe that I looked up called for dry basil leaves.
Okay.
Because it was like, because the whole thing, the whole reason that all that shit got started was because I thought you were hungry and I was trying to come up with something for you to eat. And that was just like stuff that we already had.
Oh, I see.
So I was like, oh, we have dry basil and pine nuts and Parmesan cheese and olive oil and garlic. Bam, that's pesto sauce.
I see.
And we got some Brussels sprouts and I'll just like, so with the Brussels sprouts, what you do is you like chop them into like sliced, like circular things. Olive oil, Parmesan, salt, and pepper, and you stick them in the oven for like 10 minutes.
That sounds good.
And then they get all crispy deliciousness. And then toss it up with some pasta and tomato.
Oh, yeah. Well, we can still do that.
Yeah. And I also really want to make this cake.
Well.
That solves everything.
Okay. What are you hoping to solve?
My chocolate...
addiction?
Yeah, sure. Sugar.
Oh, sugar addiction.
Sugar. Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, we've been pretty good. We don't usually have a lot of sugar in the house, although we've
Which is great, because I don't want to eat the sugar. But this recipe has been in a tab in my browser, open since I found it, and I'm just like, I gotta make it.
Yeah. But again, you might have to leave the house to go buy the ingredients.
Well, can't you just come with me?
Why?
Well, I go with you and you want to go.
You haven't left the apartment for 2 days.
Well, but then Mark was here to go with you.
I don't really want to go to the store.
Well, neither do I.
All right, well, then I guess that tab isn't getting closed anytime soon in your browser.
I'm just going to make you go.
No. And that's being recorded. I can't even say no because it's being recorded. And stay with it. All right, well, we've gotten so quiet. Is it the end? Have we come to the end?
I mean, what do you want for dinner? Soup?
Well, I like the dumpling soup, but I'm hoping you'll do the Brussels sprouts thing. Not necessarily pesto, but the other stuff.
Well, you want Brussels sprouts and pasta?
Yeah.
Plain pasta and Brussels sprouts.
Well, the pasta I got is red lentil.
Yeah, I saw that.
Oh, you don't like them? I was trying to get something healthy other than just flour, you know. Wow, what a face. This should be a V-blog because your face is...
A V-blog?
Wait, isn't that what you said?
Vlog.
Oh, you have to say vlog?
Vlog.
Can't say V-blog?
The fuck is a V-blog?
I don't know. I thought that's what it was called when you have video and your blog.
I'm pretty sure the
what
masses
is, What is it, a vodcast? Instead of podcast, is it a vodcast?
No, it's like, that's not a thing. I don't know. It's a vlog.
Okay.
That's called vlog. Vlogging.
A V-blog.
A V-blog.
Well, why is it a vlog?
Vlog.
And a blog? Because what does B stand for?
Bitchin'. I don't know, man. I didn't make up the words. I just know what they are.
Yeah, but you just... Well, that's what I'm saying. They're just made up words. I can make up my own. And vblog is...
Well, you know what? You're in your own little world. Anyway, so go for it. Vblogging. You vblogger.
I got my V show.
Oh, peace sign it up over here. Okay.
All right. Well, so vlog.
No, vlog. Okay, so vlog. Vlog. We should have named this podcast V-blog.
Right, rebranding Lauren or teaching mommy technology.
Yeah.
Mom's re-education. Or education, not even re-educating, just being educated. Wow, nothing labels you as a mother more than getting it wrong.
I can't wait to see what I fuck up when I'm old.
I'll be there taking notes.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. You're going to make a fucking V-blog about it.
Right.
My daughter. She screwed it all up, just like I thought she would.
Little marching arms. Yeah. Actually, while you were doing that, in my head, I was thinking, I'm going to make a dance blog, a D-blog, a D-blog, a D-log. And, you know.
Stop.
I'm just trying to get all the rules. I'm just trying to play
a
by D-log. The rules.
Sounds like crazy. A dick log.
What?
can't.
Well, because otherwise, this is where I normally just start laughing uncontrollably. Mm. And because we're
recording,
I could just edit it all out, I suppose. And probably will edit out some of this stuff, but anyway.
Like D-log?
No, like Brussels sprouts. Like, who cares about that?
Brussels sprouts are good. Maybe people will want the recipes. Well, it's not really a recipe. Just salt and pepper and olive oil.
Oh.
It's really easy. Yeah. You use the Google.
That was a good one. What? Use the Google.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I always say the Google.
Oh, do you?
I do. I like saying the Google. All
right.
I don't know why.
No, like, if you say the Google, it's funny and charming. If I say the Google, it's wrong and elderly.
Well, I don't know, because you never said it, and now you've, like, fucked with my head about it, so I won't know how I would feel about it. Had it just happened, I may have gone with it.
Yeah. No, I don't think so. You like to call me out. Mom, the Google?
Well, don't you want to know when you sound silly?
But I don't think it's silly to say V-blog. That's my point. I don't think that's silly.
You know what's really funny is, like, no, somewhere out there, probably there's a whole community of people who call it V-blog and are just gonna so happen to hear this and be all, like, affronted. Like, well, of course it's a V-blog. Like, you know.
But I'm gonna be like, I'm on the mom's side on this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the moms will probably be on your side.
Mm-hmm. Mm. On Facebook, did you see, I posted to my friend Hannah Sayer Smith about the mom that texts with one thumb.
Oh, I saw that. Well, yeah. No, the finger.
Or the finger, I mean to say.
Do you do that? Do you the one finger texting?
No, I do. Okay, well, here's a question for you.
Okay.
Sometimes when I turn my phone so I can use two thumbs,
yeah,
the screen doesn't always turn.
Do you have it on the lock?
I don't know.
Like, because you can lock your screen so that it won't turn?
No, it's just arbitrarily, it seems. Most of the times it will turn, and then sometimes it doesn't turn. Yes. Like, if I'm in Facebook or something, maybe
it will turn. Oh, well, not all apps do it. Not, yeah. Right, so not everything turns.
So, when it doesn't turn, no, I don't use two thumbs. Because it's difficult for me to hold my phone like that. So, I just...
Maybe you got fat thumbs.
I do. I know I do. Oh. The autocorrects I have to live with in my life. Wow, I think your thumb is bigger than mine.
Yeah, so
wow,
I don't
know. How is that that you're... Wow.
That's what?
I'm mystified by the size of your hand. Oh, they're exactly the same size. I just think your fingers
look at that.
Bigger.
Yeah.
It could be part of the shrinking process.
You have shrunk, woman. I'm taller than you and it freaks me out.
I don't really think you're taller than me.
Like, seriously, maybe every time this happens. I haven't.
How do you know?
Because I've been to the doctor and they've measured me. I am a solid 69 inches. Ask me why I can remember that.
I almost did. Why? What's special about 69?
It's just the number flipped upside down. That's kind of cool.
That's also how tall I have been all my life, is 69 inches. I am 5'9".
You are not 5'9".
All right, 5'8½".
Yeah, like 5'8".
That could be.
I think is it maybe because you like hunch? But you don't hunch. You actually have better posture than I do.
I have the best posture. In fact, I've been complimented many times in my life about my amazing posture.
I miss
posture.
Having good posture. I used to. Well, this is how you...
This is why we wear a bra.
This is no bra.
So when you have good posture...
It's even better when you raise your hands up over your head.
Okay, V-vlog.
V-vlog.
I can't help it. I'm just going to say V-blog because it makes most sense to me.
A video blog?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's fine. You know? Okay. Whatever makes you happy. That's fine.
I'm going to start your face right now for the vlog. See, I got it out. It took time, but I got it
out. Wow!
Yeah.
Very smooth.
Yeah.
Vlog. Mm-hmm. Can we talk about the... podcast that we listen to?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, whoa, mind blown with what you told me about
Truth and Justice.
Okay, but spoiler alerts for anybody. If this goes on our podcast, I don't want anyone to be mad that we're talking about it. Although, wait, was there a new Undisclosed yet?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay.
It's only Monday. I mean, it's only Sunday where they are. I think theirs comes out on Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
So this is the whole Edna and Syed case.
Serial,
yeah. We've been listening to it from the very beginning. And consumed with it, like, you know, so many other people on the planet. And now there's, you know, these spin-off blogs. No, podcasts. I should probably
Vlogs!
I should stop drinking.
It's just getting interesting.
Yeah, exactly. And Ben, it's 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock.
Exactly. This is great. My mom never drinks this much. And by this much, I mean half a glass of wine.
Well, and consecutively, week after week.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a glass of wine last week. I had a glass of wine the week before that.
And I got you to drink during dinner.
And you got me to drink during dinner.
Like 2 days in a row.
And I tasted gingerbread man shot stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And you did. Good. I mean, I didn't drink the whole shot.
Of course. No.
Heaven forbid. I drank the whole shot.
What would happen if you did?
I'd probably get drunk and I wouldn't like it.
But you wouldn't know that you didn't like it until the next day.
Exactly.
But then, you would have fun in the moment. You wouldn't know that
I'm
you were
too old to have fun in the moment and then pay for it in the long run. That's my life has changed.
I got banana bags and I'll hook you up to an IV and make you drink water. You know, I didn't even have a hangover.
I know, it's because, okay, why are we talking about that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Because you're drunk.
Okay, no, I'm not. Tipsy, maybe, but drunk, no. Drunk, never!
All right, so anyways.
Catherine Hepburn never gets drunk.
Yeah, have you ever seen Lucille Ball?
Exactly. Exactly. I'm actually ready to go dig out some chocolate from that refrigerator. So
stuff it down your shirt.
Into my mouth, into my shirt. Edna and Syed. So yes. We listened to this Truth and Justice podcast with Bob, somebody or other.
Honestly, no offense, Bob. I can't really stand to listen to it. So when my mother listens to it and she lets me know what's going on.
Yeah, we don't have to dissect that part too much in case Bob ever listens to this in all his free time. But I don't know why you say you don't like his voice or something?
There's a lot of, like, pontificating happening.
Oh,
I find myself fast-forwarding, like, 20 minutes into the podcast to get to, like, the meat of it.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of, like, hemming and hawing, and I just...
I think lately the last couple have been very good because he's actually had guests on.
I did listen to the one with the profiler.
Yeah.
That was really interesting.
Yeah. And so I think when he has people on, that's interesting. I think in the beginning he was just trying to get through all the evidence and look at all the possibilities and give his point of view. But also in the beginning, I remember him talking a lot about his own credentials, why he felt he was...
Right, and I think I had to skip over all that.
Yeah, because he's a fireman and has been for many years, and he's a fire chief, a fire investigator.
Right.
He's had to interrogate, interview people. He's been on the stand, so... Excuse me, he comes from this sort of background where he feels like he can investigate this with no agenda. He's not related to Edna and Syed. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know anybody and doesn't know these people. So, Well, he is starting to, of course. He's gotten involved. But, anyway. So, you can check it out. Truth and Justice is the name of the podcast. It was Serial Dynasty, but I think the idea is he actually gave the name of a book today that we should listen or read in preparation for the next case he's going to investigate.
Oh,
so he's already lining up another case to investigate after this one closes, how he comes to some end with this one, I don't know. So last week they had Jim Clemente on, and he is the profiler.
Yeah.
And he went over the little bit of evidence he could get his hands on and had time to look at because, of course, you know, these people work full-time jobs. And so last week, based on the profiles, based on the little bit of evidence this guy could... look at. He said, you know, really, just based on what we've seen, the killer of this woman, of Haley, is someone she knows.
Mm-hmm.
Most likely a young person. Mm-hmm. Not, he said most likely a male, but he couldn't rule out a female.
Mm-hmm.
So
they had a previous relationship.
They had a previous relationship. It was based on rage or revenge, this killing. And, you know, most likely a young man, somebody who was particular in his looks, you know, that is the way he kept himself, or the way people would perceive the person he is, not the person he truly is maybe, but how people perceive him on the outside as being organized. He's probably intelligent. So this week, Bob, he goes back then to Jim Clemente and says, okay, so you've given us all this data. Now, what should we do with it? And Jim Clemente says, well, now you hold it up against the alibis. You know, think about the alibis for these people that fit this profile.
Right.
And see where you go with that. So that's what the show today was about, was looking at the alibis of the two suspects, the two big suspects. So Adnan being the primary suspect. And do you want me to go through the whole thing? Talk about that?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So
I just thought we'd talk about it.
Yeah. So, well, I've already told you about it. That's why I'm asking if I should. But so, Adnan... He has the Asia McLean claims to have seen him at the library. you know, for a certain amount of time after school. Then another girl named Debbie claims to have seen him
at the guidance counselor's office,
and they found a letter from the guidance counselor, a school...
recommendation.
Yes, a letter of recommendation printed on that same date.
Which I think, like, why did I not know that? Like, I think that even
if it's been mentioned, there's so much data,
yeah,
right?
True.
And
yeah.
People are picking and choosing what to talk about depending on what it is they're trying to, what point they're trying to support, right?
Right.
So, yeah, it was the first I'd heard of this letter of recommendation. And then the track coach also talked about being outside. And this was the only day in January where they had weather warm enough to be outside.
And Sarah Koenig was the one who actually talked about that. She talked about that in Serial.
Okay.
I believe. Yeah, I remember her talking about, because it was like, they wouldn't be outside if it was a certain degree. And that was the only day that they would have track practice that was that degree, because then, like, the next weeks and the weeks before, or whatever, like, the night there was a snowstorm, and
right.
Before that, they were, whatever. So, yeah, I remember that.
And also, it was Ramadan.
And it was Ramadan.
So, the coach was walking with Adnan around the track, because Adnan was fasting and couldn't run. Or wouldn't, not that he couldn't, but he was not going to run because he was fasting. So, you have these three pieces of the alibi for Adnan, putting him at the school the whole time. Okay, so then Bob, the host, says, you know, so there we have it. These are three very solid, reliable, different people alibis.
Yeah, ish.
Well, I'm putting words in his mouth. He doesn't say solid. He's just saying, here's these three alibis.
Right.
We have evidence to back them up. So, for example, Asia McLean. Now, why does she say this was the day? Well, she says this is the day because she remembers her boyfriend was late picking her up, and she was pissed that he was late. The boyfriend comes to get her, and he's pissed that she's in talking with a nun.
Right.
So they fight the rest of the day. They go back to his place, and then this big snowstorm hits later, and she gets stuck there.
Right.
So that's why she remembers that particular day. Mm-hmm. And why does Debbie remember? Because she was in the guidance counselor. Why is that? Okay. So the other person then, of course, is left is Don. I don't know Don's last name.
I don't know either.
And as has been proven already, his time card saying he was at work was falsified. And so then Bob goes through, you know, just very quickly reviews this whole, how they proved that it was falsified and all the evidence against it. And you can go listen to the podcast about it. It is pretty fascinating, actually, what it comes down to. And so it turns out Don's time cards are falsified. They're also some erratic behavior. So the police were trying to get a hold of Don that night when they found out that... Haley was missing,
and he
was unavailable until after midnight.
Right.
He finally was able to get back to the police. He didn't call them for hours and hours and hours.
Like, how is that not ding, ding, ding?
Well, okay, so that's a good question. So that's what somebody says to Bob on his podcast, you know, like, how is that not obvious? And he says, you know, look, in the beginning, they look at this guy, and he gives them what they think is a valid time card.
Right.
The manager vouches for him. What more? I mean, why would you doubt that? You know,
right.
Because in the meantime, you've got Adnan, and now you've got Jay, right, saying all these things. So at the end of the podcast, Bob says, I want to tell you right now that as far as I'm concerned, Adnan had nothing to do with this, and Don is the number one suspect in my book.
And then you were talking about how... Like, okay, so maybe that's all true, but then why the F is Jay going around saying it's Adnan?
Right, well, so that's, I mean, and that's, so that's the other thing Jim Clemente's going to do. He's going to look at every, you know, over
time. So now he's invested and he really wants to get into it. Because when the last episode, he was kind of prefacing all of his statements with, I really am very busy, I didn't have a lot of time, like, this isn't, I'm not giving, like, a full 100%, like, thing, this is just kind of, like, my overview, this is kind of, like, what I take from it at a very cursory glance, is that the word?
Cursory
glance, whatever.
Vlog.
So, vlog, cursory, cursing vlog, blog.
Clog.
Clogs!
Clog, that's, cursing, that's, cursing blog.
Clog. It's a cursing blog, yeah. Kvog.
cursing video blog?
Yes. So, but now he's saying that he's really going to...
Well, he's going to take some time. He wants to look at all the statements made by Jay, look at all the interviews, all the transcripts, and put together, you know, some sort of profile from his perspective of Jay.
Mm.
And, so it really, I mean, that's the big mystery. Why would Jay point the finger at Adnan if it has something to do with Don? And there's really, there's obviously some backstory. There's something
missing.
Yeah.
Right, I mean, I think a lot of people felt that way from the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, just there is a huge something that just does it. Nobody else. And didn't a detective or somebody say that to Sarah? Maybe not Sarah, but somebody. I remembered hearing on one of these podcasts about how maybe it was Jay to Vice. And he was like, there's a piece that nobody knows that, like, wasn't whatever that, like, will prove 100% that it was Adnan. We know it was Adnan. I mean, I thought it was a detective that said it, like, somebody from the case had told somebody else, like, you don't know, you don't actually know everything. And, like,
right.
But in my mind, I'm like, if that's true, then why wouldn't that have been brought up in court?
Right. Like, if there was anybody withholding anything at this point.
Right. Like, why would that even be, like, an issue? I mean, it was... How long
ago? You would think they would pull out the one thing that was the proof.
Right, like, immediately.
Right, and put him away for life and be done with it.
Yeah, and, like, right, exactly. And if that's the case, then why wouldn't that have been brought up in the first place in court? Yeah. Oh, Sydney. What'd she lick at my fingers for, you weirdo?
She loves you.
I don't think she does. Oh. Hi. Oh!
Look, it's the end of that.
Sydney! It's Mark!
Are you doing a podcast?
We're already finished. Oh, okay. We're just chatting.